Good evening and welcome to this special holiday edition of the KRFP Evening Report. On today's show, we'll have more from University of Idaho Architecture Professor Emeritus Nels Reese, speaking about the architectural history of the building we now call Moscow City Hall. The former federal building is 100 years old this year. But first, these headlines. We have these news headlines. New Medicaid laws went into effect in Idaho last Thursday, including a rule which will greatly roll back or completely eliminate dental, chiropractic, and vision services for some adults. Also last Thursday, the remaining parts of Superintendent of Public Instruction Tom Luna's education overhaul went into effect. Those include a law that requires permission from a principal before a school board can hire a new teacher in a school. Also last week, a new Idaho law went into effect exempting giant feedlot operators and other agricultural enterprises from nuisance laws when they expand in acreage. Tonight's area 4th of July celebration will be held in Sunnyside Park in Pullman. A barbecue will start at 5 p.m. and music will be performed by the Kingpins, Dan Marr, and the Pullman Concert Band. Fireworks are set to begin at 10 p.m. Pullman transit buses will shuttle people from park and ride locations every 20 minutes starting in the late afternoon and will continue running after the fireworks. Washington State began charging $10 day use fees for those with vehicles who want to use one of the 120 state parks and millions of acres of state-managed land. Park and land users can also purchase a $30 annual pass good for vehicle access to all state parks and lands. The new fees are part of the state budget process where legislators tried to bridge a $5 billion state deficit in May. The new fees will go into effect tomorrow. There are some changes in the Moscow restaurant scene. The Sandpiper Grill closed after operating for 6 years under owners Paul and Fonda Tuesley. Their last day was Saturday. San Miguel's of North Main Street has closed, with owners Arturo and Annette La Madrid opening a new Mexican restaurant in the East Side Marketplace soon. The new restaurant will be called La Madrid Mexican Restaurant and Tapas Bar, and will take the space previously occupied in past years by El Mercado Restaurant and the adjacent place occupied by the Mix Bar, which is closing. Also, the owner of the local franchise of the Pie Hole Pizza chain, Keith Mott, says the new Pizza by the Slice outlet will serve bottled and canned beer in 2 or 3 weeks. Mott says the state has approved the beer license, but there is still city and county paperwork to be finished. We now turn to our featured segment on this holiday edition of the KRFP Evening Report. Tonight we have part two of a talk given by University of Idaho Architecture Professor Emeritus Nels Reese, commemorating the 100th anniversary of the Moscow City Hall. Reese's talk was called Building a National Image for the American Democracy, the History of the Architecture of City Hall, its Architect James Knox Taylor, and Relationship to Historic Federal Buildings Across the Nation. You can hear the first part of Professor Reese's talk by going to the Friday edition of the KRFP Evening Report on the Radio Free Moscow website, or you can watch the lecture and view the slides by going to the City of Moscow website. Here's Professor Nels Reese, recorded May 31st in the City Council Chambers at Moscow City Hall.
Now I'm all excited to really do some research and find out in the whole Northwest how many buildings there could be in other places that were built by Taylor. And what do you think? We got a little post office here. It wasn't going to be like those Romanesque buildings on Main Street. We had shifted our gears about architecture style, and we had gone into something that is a little bit more sedate. In some ways, I think of this as a sort of matronly building, something like your old aunt, that's proper, wears a hat, wants to never runs around in warm-up outfits. She dresses up every day when she gets up. You know how those ants are. And anyway, here we are, and we don't have color photography in 1911, but I'm going to make fun of the Germans and say that we found a cool little old German guy who could color this up. This was a black and white photograph that got hand colored and made into a postcard. So this was a postcard, and over at the Leta Society, we've got a half a dozen of those, don't we, Dan? I think there's several of them, and some they've all been worn a little bit, but there is our wonderful building that we have. We can see this cornice that is inordinately powerful and strong, a beautiful cornice on it. We can see these balanced, the 1, 2, 3 is symmetrical end to the building. This front is symmetrical, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So it's symmetry is a big thing in the classical world. We're able to, not only we use brick, which is a normal material for Moscow, but we use some nice stone down here at the bottom because this was a kind of a mucky place to have a building, and so we put in a good foundation. And all the trim up here is terracotta, so it's trimmed and rather uniquely. And I haven't seen another building that's quite like this. Taylor didn't design every one of these buildings. He had a strong view of what the building should be, but he would hire local architects. Had Lawrence been around a little sooner, might have hired Lawrence to do the local work, but he was very careful to watch and see that this could be built perfectly. Now, as you learned last week, we figured out how to save this building, and in 1973, and while Linda didn't say it last week, by 73 we were getting serious about saving buildings. Because why? It was a bicentennial coming up. 1976 was coming, and we were, and President Nixon had said, he wrote a presidential order and said, I'm giving, telling you people out there in the States, you're going to get serious about identifying buildings to save in your community, and you're going to do it now. And not tomorrow, now. And he gave money, of course. So there was money attached, and everybody was running around. And at the time, we had, I know our historian in Moscow was a young fellow from Hawaii, but Arthur Hart, who was in the Historical Society, this had to be done, and there was some pressure. And Joanne Munita, sitting over here in the front row, was putting pressure on them to do something and get this building put on the National Register. And so this is the words right out of the National Register written by Arthur Hart. Moscow, Idaho, federal building is one of the finest public buildings in the state. It was produced from the designs of the United States Treasury Department during the time James Knox Taylor was supervising architect. Well, we already know that, don't we? Its importance to Idaho is the fact that it is almost the only building in this style that we have. Few other buildings of its era cost as much, $87,000, mind you, or had as fine an architect. That's the first statement out of the register by Arthur. And so there it is, 1932, 20 years later. The lights are still there. They're hard to see, but you can see that the old courthouse is still up there, but it doesn't have its little lantern on top of it. They've taken the lantern down. It's hard to get people to go up there and paint those up on top of the building. And lo and behold, they fall apart. And so it had been taken down. And so here we are in 1932. drawings we have, U.S. Post Office and Courthouse, and these are just copies of the drawings that we have over in the engineering annex, but you can see how nicely they're done. And of course, since they're symmetrical, there was a tendency to draw carefully on one half and not draw so much on the other, because we didn't have computers in those days, did we, Lawrence? No. So it was hard drawing, and you can see that the edges of the paper are a little bit worn, but these are the two, the north and south side, and you can see that light fixture there, and then the west front of the building. And I won't dwell on these floor plans, but they were carefully done floor plans with the works area here. So downstairs, our finance department now handles this. You can see it was a revolving door that we got rid of in the building. But it was carefully drawn, nice drawings, drawings that you'd like to be, you'd be proud to have said you made these. Upstairs, this is the room we're in right now, and this would have been the court room. And as Linda said last week, it was a court. The Robinson case took place here. Prohibition issues were going on. So who sold illegal booze to who is a big deal. The Indian, the Nez Perce Indians had some cases that were handled here in this courtroom. And so it's an honor to be here and to do something else, a positive, in a later time. And then upstairs, there would be rooms for marshals, U.S. marshals, and various offices that need to be in support of the federal government. So this gets a little bit longer, and I'll read the Moscow Post Office and Courthouse is a handsome, eclectic style. Now, people had a hard time deciding what style it should be. I'm going to come back to that slide in a minute. But this post office has been published in four documents, as far as I can tell. If it's been published in any others, I don't know about it. But the first is the National Register that is sent back to the Department of Interior. Arthur Hart wrote that in 1973. In 1976, Dr. Neal, J.M. Neal, who was the head of the Bicentennial Commission, did a little book, and that happens to be a drawing done by me for the book. I was the art director of the book, and we put it together, and we called it Renaissance Revival style. Arthur called it Beaux-Arts style. If you think that sometimes it's hard to keep track of what style is this and what style is that, don't feel bad, because it is hard. And, you know, people are invariably using a different name. So Lillian Onnes in 1983 did a lovely book about the area, and she said it was Federalist architecture. Well, okay, so Federalist. That might have been more, came out of Boston a little bit more, and you might have thought about even Jefferson. Meanwhile, one of the lovely books about Idaho architecture is called Building Idaho by Jennifer Atterbury, who's a professor down at Idaho State, and she called it Renaissance Revival as well. So Renaissance Revival gets two votes, at least out of four, and maybe that's what we should use, is Renaissance Revival. The Moscow Post Office and Courthouse is a handsome, eclectic style brick building of three stories. Red brick is trimmed in ivory, terracotta, ground story windows are tall and round arched. That round arch sort of tells you that it's a little bit more Renaissance-y. That round-headed thing is circles or what Michelangelo thought was a good deal. And so the Renaissance was that gives us a sense that we're a bit Renaissance-y. Tall and round arch, the central panel of each made up of double hung 8x8 sashes. These are flanked with four pane side lights, topped by graceful fan windows for a Palladian effect. That Palladian effect, the famous Renaissance architect, Andrea Palladio, that those of us who love the Renaissance, we think highly of him. He's probably the most copied architect in the history of architecture. Second story windows are 6x6, rectangular. Boom, 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 right here. Nice little panes. And the attic story is short, more square windows up on the top of, in the third floor, set off by a terracotta chorus decorated with round discs. So the space between attic windows is richly decorated in brick and terracotta panels. The roof is hipped, and it had it's a metal roof as we speak. The main entrance is reached by a flight of 10 steps, the entry opening in the central bay in a 5-bay front. It's a fan window repeating exactly those over the four windows and so forth. So there you have the building. And luckily, Mr. Taylor was absolutely adamant that we take pictures of these buildings as they were being built. He didn't want to just leave anything to... just average. You will take a picture every week or you will not get paid, you know, and there it goes. So we have a whole series of images of this building going up, going up, going up, as and we're fortunate to have those. The drawings, luscious drawings, absolutely gorgeous pieces of work. You can see the detailing that goes on in that cornice up there. You can see that round-headed window and the 8x8 double-pane windows here. Picture of it on the side. So it warms the cockles of my heart. Being an architect, I would have been proud to have made that set of drawings.
You're listening to a talk given by University of Idaho Architecture Professor Emeritus Nels Reese, commemorating the 100th anniversary of Moscow City Hall.
The transition then happened, and it isn't my job to necessarily talk about it, but I simply remind you, as we learned last week, that we started out as a post office, and then we went into kind of tragic model mode of not knowing what to do with it. We don't seem to know how to take care of buildings that we're going to leave. And so the first thing that comes to our mind is tear it down. You know, we've been through that with the 1912 building. Only the campus, I must say that campuses are less, now we've torn down a couple buildings on campus ourselves, but by and large, it's interesting, as an aside, if you think about the campus as one community and the downtown as another community, that the campus has flown through time in a nice transitional way, so that each decade there's some building on campus that represents that decade. Our downtown is sort of just 1890s, 1900, and then we get this building, and then we, in the Jazz Age, we build a couple theaters, but we never really got serious about building downtown buildings again after 1890. Isn't that interesting? Well, I don't know what that means about us. I can talk about it, but I'm not going to. But it is intriguing, and yet on campus each decade you'll see something representing that particular time. Some ugly stuff on campus, I'll give you that, but at least it represents the ugly age. You know, 1950, 1960 was pretty bad in the world of architecture, and we have some better buildings now. Of which I might say Lawrence has been involved with on campus to be better. But in downtown, we've never gotten able to fly again. There is a building off over here. There is one or two modern ones. I guess, Jack, you're in a sort of semi-modern one, but it isn't one that we talk about so much. So this is just a little bit of discussion about the fact that we lost our way for roughly 20 years. I was going to quibble with Linda last week about exactly when we moved into this building, but we between 1973, when it got on the National Register, and then by 81, we moved in to do some other things there as a community center, and then finally, you would have thought it would have been a slam dunk to make it into a city hall, but no, we couldn't make that decision easily. And finally, in the 90s, we were able to move into the building. So this was a description by maybe Joanne either encouraged somebody to write it. She was the chairman of a committee, and so they talked about the fact that this is a wonderful building and trying to say all the right good things about it, you know, and trying to they talked about the fact that some person from Switzerland was brought over to oversee the building of the brickwork, and also the quality of the building was perfectly fine, so it didn't need to be torn down. It was going to stand up. It wasn't going to be falling down anytime soon, and that's kind of what this said. There's no big cracks or anything, and we can see, I was a little bit dismayed to see that the post office people in Walla Walla aren't taking care of their building as well as we are, and so there is some peeling paint and things on the Walla Walla one, and I was a little disappointed in that. As we think about this building now, we get back to that classical sense, and I just want to bring you to another Renaissance sense, that in the Renaissance and in Florence and in Rome and in many cities in Italy, there were these palaces that were built, and in a sense, that's what our building looks like, is some palace. It's really not it's not that big colonnaded building as much, so you see this sort of similar sense of what a palazzo or a palace in a sense we could call it the people's palace. And post office is okay, but we don't, even though we like to see our friends when we're buying stamps, I have to tell you that I like the use of the building now better than the post office, in the sense that we have better meetings here, and we have disagreements here, and we occasionally shout at each other in this room, and it's where we find out who we are. And in that sense, it is the people's palace, and I think that's a particularly good use of the building. I just point out that as it stands today, the mayor has the mayor's office is in this building, and of course the finance office is down there. The front hallway. I have to tell you that I've been looking at these buildings, and I've looked carefully at Boise. I look carefully at Walla Walla, look carefully at Lewiston, and we have the most refined space. I don't know why. Only Mr. Taylor could tell us, but I love this space. It has beautiful moldings on the top, and if you'll just look at it with me a little bit here, at some of these details. You know, you look, and the oak has been brought in. By 1910, we had hardwood in Moscow. Hardwood didn't grow in Idaho, of course, so we had to ship it out from Ohio or someplace. So until the train got here, we wouldn't have hardwood, but you can see the newel posts here and the railings, and they're in excellent shape. And the details in the building, what fine things we'd like to live with. And the plaster molding, and it's not cracking and falling apart, and I'm quite pleased with it. I think about the buildings that we have in Moscow, and the first thing that comes to your mind is, well, the Ad Building. It's impressive. And then there's Memorial Gym, and it's impressive. Both done in a more Gothic, collegiate Gothic, but neither one of those buildings have details that are this elegant in it. even though both of those buildings are a little bit more robust and maybe have, I've always thought of a Memorial Gym in a feminine way as well. I've thought about it, just the shape of it seemed to be that kind of result. But I think it's worth a debate over a glass of wine which is the finest building in Moscow. And I think this certainly, there's reason to argue that this is fine. No interior room in the Ad Building or Memorial Gym is quite as nicely detailed as the oak in this room. And I should have gotten the city council here, but because I'm on planning and zoning, I let planning and zoning. This is an example of this room being used. And you know, 4 out of 5 times, no one's here to hear us. And we say wonderful things and no one hears. And then 1 out of 5 times, a lot of people are here and they hear us and we have interesting discussions about the nature of going forward in our city. And that, if you think about it in the broadest terms, that's quite a luxury to be able to have that discussion right here in this room. There's many a time that Joanne Munita is probably the person who I think of as she's the most public-spirited person probably in this room, and she doesn't mind letting you know about it. And that's such an elegant thing. Many of you are in many places. I see you, but she's fearless. And so that's something that we notice when we sit here, both council and planning and zoning. We notice those people who speak for some of their friends. I just want to leave you with a note about, this is a little three-dimensional drawing of Moscow, and you can see the historic district right here. It happens that this isn't a commercial building, so it didn't go into the historic district, but the yellow buildings would be buildings that I consider to be public buildings. And you may not have thought about your town this way, but it's really important in terms of our civic sense to have our public buildings and our private buildings intermingled, so that some buildings we're having our hospital down here, or our fire station, or I'm giving any school an opportunity to be a public building that we can walk into. So the high school is here, our post office, our city hall, and our churches are public places where, even though we don't have the same dialogue in the church as we might have in the city hall or in the theater, still they're a chance for us to mingle in that way. And I think this it's a good sign that we still have some of the, that our public and private buildings are intermingled in, I think, a reasonable and generous way. And I just can't help but mentioning that to you. And there you have our building of today, what I call the Linda Paul Grove around the building so that we can't see it anymore. And I had to quickly take this picture before the leaves come out because it hides the building, but it is looking ever so fine. And I thank you for your attention.
You've been listening to a talk given by University of Idaho Architecture Professor Emeritus Nels Reese commemorating the 100th anniversary of Moscow City Hall. The talk was recorded May 31st in the City Council Chambers at Moscow City Hall. If you want to hear the first part of Professor Reese's talk, you can go to the Friday edition of the KRFP Evening Report on the Radio Free Moscow website, or you can watch the entire lecture plus the question and answer session and view the slides by going to the City of Moscow website. That's it for this holiday edition of the KRFP Evening Report. The next daily edition of the Evening Report will be tomorrow at 5:30 p.m., and our next local newscasts will be during Morning Mix, tomorrow morning, 7 to 10 a.m. The forecast for the Moscow-Pullman area is calling for clear tonight, low 49, and sunny, high 81 tomorrow, and high 86 under sunny skies Wednesday. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix every day, plus the recordings of local events and public affairs shows, and the music and art programming you hear on every day on Radio Free Moscow, be sure to become a member of Radio Free Moscow. Memberships are $35 a year, $25 for students. You can mail your memberships to Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. I'm Lee Robartis. Have a great 4th of July.